Harry the Hammer with further review by Housecrafters. Housecrafters provides complete home renovation services with one call does it all. That includes exterior home services like roofing, siding, home additions, and much more. Call 716-646-NAIL.
Welcome to another edition of Further Review, brought to you by the Buffalo News. I am Perrin Keyes, the executive sports editor of the Buffalo News, joined as always by Jay Skirsky, our venerable longtime beat writer, covering the Buffalo Bills. Perhaps the only thing that was a little bit more demoralizing than having to watch the Bills lose a 30-13 game against the Miami Dolphins down in Miami Gardens was Jay's travel difficulties. He had quite a bit of fun time on the way there and the way back. He's finally now sort of set in one place, at least for the moment. And we were bringing this to you on an interesting Monday. We're of course going to sort through a lot to sift through here as the Bills pick up the pieces from a demoralizing loss, at least certainly to the fan base, if not the team itself. But we're coming a little bit later because of Jay's travel difficulties. And as it is a little bit after noon, a little bit after 1 o'clock on Mondays, we record this news coming out of New York, of course, that Brian Daboll, Ontario native, longtime Buffalo resident, St. Francis grad, and of course, somebody who's got a long, long, long history with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. And so he has been let go by the New York Giants. The Giants, of course, got a boost when Daboll inserted Jackson Dart into the lineup. They won 2 of 3, but they've dropped 4 in a row. Ugly loss to the Bears yesterday. And I bring all this up because it's an interesting sort of odd but fitting segue into the state of the Bills offense. The Bills offense, listen, if they play the way they played against Kansas City, Jay, they can beat anybody. If they play the way they played against Miami and in far too many games, let's be honest, this season, they can lose to anybody, and they proved that. And it does bring up the question of, well, where is this offense? Is it sort of, I don't want to say beyond repair, but it's leaking oil, and it has leaked oil for quite a bit. And it brings up questions about the state of the offense and if they want to do the nuclear bomb option, which Sean McDermott has done before, well, you do have somebody who's certainly got a lot of experience with the Buffalo Bills and with Josh Allen in particular.
It would be the nuclear option. You're right, Perrin. It's, you know, I would have to say I would consider it maybe at this stage early to be having this discussion, but coming off the performance that we saw yesterday from the Bills down in Miami, I think it's time to have a discussion about Joe Brady. This can't be simply talent, right? It can't be the players not living up to their ability, right? They're fundamentally, this offense is broken, and it has been for a long time. And you're right that Kansas City, you would have hoped would been the turning point, right? Well, it was not the turning point because it turned around in the wrong direction in a bad way against Miami. They can't throw the ball, and it doesn't make any sense. You've got the reigning MVP, the guy with the biggest arm in the league, arguably, it's Josh freaking Allen. And what is going on with this passing offense? You know, anything beyond 10 yards down the field, 20 yards down the field is difficult. It's a stretch. It's borderline impossible at times, it feels like. And it just shouldn't be that way. And a Miami team that was going nowhere, bottom half of the league, bottom quarter of the league, and pretty much every major defensive statistic, they're able to shut down James Cook. And when this rushing attack is slowed, they don't have an answer. That they being the Bills don't have an answer through the air. And that is really, really problematic. And, you know, you bring up Brian Daboll, and we spoke briefly before we started on air here about the possibility. I will tell you this, there is not anyone in the NFL who is closer to Josh Allen than Brian Daboll. They are remarkably close. If you want to call it father-son relationship, whatever, they have stayed in touch, in regular contact. Brian Daboll, I think, brought out the best in Josh Allen. I think gets a ton of credit for the development of Josh Allen as a quarterback. You know, the Bills offense numerically in stats tells a different story than what the eyeball test tells, you know, and yes, they are 6-3. And yes, they have, you know, they've won a lot of games and they've put up good numbers, but they have not been able to move the ball through the air the way that you would expect a team led by Josh Allen to do it. And that was not a problem for this team when Brian Daboll was the offensive coordinator. Now, I have argued, you know, I've said this season, it doesn't matter how you score your points. It matters how many points you score. But in a game like yesterday, to be shut out by the Miami Dolphins through three quarters, for Josh Allen to be at around 120 passing yards through three quarters, it is to me the sign of a very big problem. And you mentioned it, Sean McDermott has done this before. He has made this move before. Ken Dorsey was fired exactly after week 10, a couple years back, before Joe Brady was promoted to the spot. And so will it be a consideration? I can't say that for sure right now. I mean, this news has come out in the last 20 minutes, right? I can tell you, though, that it should be a consideration. That's me opining on this, right? I believe that Daboll, as I said, is as close with Josh Allen as you can possibly be in terms of a coach-player relationship, and we know that he knows how to utilize Josh Allen the best. I know the timing is less than ideal for all sides here, right? For Daboll, for the Bills. I'll be very interested, though, to hear from Sean McDermott. We'll hear from him today at 4 p.m. When we head out to Orchard Park. And that press conference was already going to be pretty interesting just because of the questions surrounding this team after that loss to Miami. This adds another layer to it, and I think it is a question that's worth asking of Sean McDermott.
How do you fix this in the short term? Let's just play pretend, Jay, and say that they don't go nuclear bomb option, which I think is more likely than unlikely at this point. How do you fix this? How do you get back on track quickly?
Yeah, well, maybe Josh Palmer helps, right? I think he was pretty close to being able to play against Miami. I would expect fully that he should be out there for Tampa Bay. You know, he was brought in to be that vertical field stretcher, for lack of a better term. His separation ability was talked about widely when he was signed. Obviously, the offense is missing that. Palmer should help. I tweeted last night, it's time to give Gabe Davis a look. You brought him back here for a reason. I thought it reeked of desperation. Well, they're desperate. They are absolutely desperate for somebody to make some plays at wide receiver. So you should, it's time to see what Gabe Davis can give you. It's time to see whether Josh Palmer can, you know, provide a more consistent spark than he has been able to, even when he has been healthy. I would limit the amount of time that Keon Coleman is on the field, 70% of the snaps. It's not working. They are not getting the production from Keon Coleman that they need. Beyond that, I don't know that there's any obvious fix, right? I mean, you've got to be able to run the ball. They talk about two-dimensional. Well, I mean, it doesn't take, you know, if you and I can sit here, Perrin, and say, this is the way that you stop the Bills' offense is you sell out to stop James Cook, and they don't have an answer. Well, then every opposing defensive coordinator clearly sees that as well. So yeah, they've got to limit the times that they hurt themselves on penalties. They've got to stay on schedule. They've got to be in favorable down and distances. There's a lot that has to go right. And, you know, because of that, I feel like if there were easy answers, they would have gotten to them by now. It feels to me very often or very much like an offense that in a lot of ways is out of answers. And you see that on Josh Allen's face reflected in his post-game news conference, just the body language, how he looks, right? Joe Brady, you know, if there was an easy button to hit, they would have hit it already. And so I don't know that Joe Brady has a lot more answers. Like I said, maybe the guys coming back, you know, getting a little healthier on that side of the ball helps, but injuries have not been the main reason for the offense's shortcomings.
Harry the Hammer goes to work.
Harry the Hammer here from House Crafters, and I am one happy hammer. We just finished this addition and kitchen, and it's beautiful. Look at this place. It's gorgeous. If you have a remodeling project in mind, a kitchen, bathroom, or mother-in-law apartment, one call really does do it all at House Crafters. For a free estimate, call House Crafters at 646-NAIL.
And Perrin, this was a game that I thought the Bills' defense, by and large, held in there reasonably well. You know, it's 6:31 remaining in the fourth quarter, and the Dolphins are sitting at 16 points. You're going to win a lot of games at 16 points. However, in those final 6:31, we saw Devon Achane go for two long touchdown runs, stretching the lead to 30 points. So you come away from it saying, it's another unacceptable performance, particularly by the run defense. So we'll start there. Injuries we'll also touch on here in this segment, particularly on that side of the ball. They continue to be an issue. But, you know, one of the main takeaways for me is, and I've had plenty of time to mull over all of these things with my myriad flight delays, is that it's the same issues that kind of keep coming up, right? And for the defense, that is stopping the run. And it, again, this is another example of a game where they're not able to do it consistently enough. And the end result, as I mentioned there, the final 6+ minutes of the game is the Dolphins run up 30 points. And to me, it's a lot of the same issues, the missed tackles, the not being in gaps. What was your takeaway from the defense overall yesterday?
Well, you bring up a good point. It's in some ways, not always, but in some ways, Jay, just as you mentioned right at the top, we have to start with injuries. A team in general, which that's a whole separate issue, which I know you're going to get into at some point this week, why they're suffering so many injuries and, you know, how difficult it's been. But, you know, you just think about some of the guys they're expecting to play heavily or be starters or contribute. You know, Ed Oliver's out. TJ Sanders, the rookie defensive tackle, he's out on IR. Michael Hoyt, that's, you know, you can say what you want to. That's about, you know, with his Achilles injury, which he suffered against Kansas City last week. That's as bad luck as bad luck gets. Shaq Thompson out. AJ Epenesa out. Of course, they were missing two of their top corners. Christian Benford, who is a willing tackler, and Taron Johnson, their nickelback, who is obviously has been in his for the most of his career, a willing tackler as well. Dorian Strong, the rookie who played well in week one against the Ravens, he's out on IR with a neck injury. Taylor Rapp on IR. Damar Hamlin on IR. You can't discount any of that. And I will say that you're right. With 6:31 to go, all of a sudden from there on, two more touchdowns by Achan. My guess there, and it's just a guess, as I wasn't in Miami Gardens, fighting flight delays and so forth and watching a bad football game. Defense is gassed. Yeah, you know, yeah. They've given it everything they've had, you know, and it was a difficult game. I know it was hot and humid, the very opposite of what it is here in Buffalo. It was very, very hot and humid down there. That was quite a bit of a weather change and a shock for the system, no matter how much you're acclimated to it. The offense struggled. You could see Josh Allen was exhausted at times. The defense certainly was exhausted at times. They held their own for a long, long time in that game. But yes, you made the point. Missed tackles. If I'm not mistaken, I think Achan forced 11 missed tackles.
I saw that.
Somewhere according to PFF or Next Gen Stats, one or the other. Christian Benford, as I said, we know he's a willing tackler. Same with Taron Johnson. I thought Cam Lewis played pretty doggone well, but I do know that he was sort of, you know, he was his run fits weren't great at time. He sort of found himself out of position. I don't know what you say about that. You know, you've got Matt Milano back. You've got Terrell Bernard back. These are supposed to be some of your better tacklers. It's a tough break when Landon Jackson is out, you know, very, very early in the first quarter of that game. And so now all of a sudden you've got three healthy defensive ends and you've got to move. Poor Daquan Jones has got to play defensive end. You know, difficult, 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 difficult. You want to say it's a summation of all those things. I think that's part of it. The flip side is, and I think, you know, this is again where you miss Michael Hoyt, who made a big, big difference, just in the two games where he was. But, you know, the summation of all these injuries and you've got players who are missing tackles, you know, I don't know that you can separate the two, but certainly it leads to what you're seeing. And you know, shortcomings in the secondary. I thought Max Harrison held his own. You're going to get beat sometimes by Jalen Waddle or players like Jalen Waddle. That's part of that's part of life as a cornerback, right? But the secondary more or less did what they needed to do. The run defense was not good and was not good before they started. They were, you know, you talk about behind schedule. They were behind schedule. They were sort of out of sync the whole way there too. Outside of the first interception that Cole Bishop had, the Bills were chasing this game on defense too, because of course you found yourself down 13-0 very, very early. And of course the Bills defense, you know, being out of position and not playing well was fundamental to that deficit. So to answer your question, Jay, it's a lot of things all sort of piling up into one. And now you're sort of, you know, maybe now you're having to pay the piper with a defensive performance like that.
Yeah, so before we started here, Perrin, and as you mentioned, I am going to take a look more at injuries, but I ran the numbers down the roster, and I'm going to double check these because they're so big, but I've got 24 players who have missed at least one game because of injury. That amounts to 86 total man games lost. Only five of those players, as you were talking there, I'm looking at my list. Only five of those players are on offense. That's Josh Palmer, Curtis Samuel, Dalton Kincaid, Tylan Grable, the offensive tackle who's missed the entire season on injured reserve. Spencer Brown missed one game with a calf injury. So you're talking five offensive players. Heck, even the kicker and the punter are hurt, right? Tyler Bass and Cameron Johnston are on that list. So you add those two, that is seven. That is 17 defensive players that have missed at least one game. That's problematic. Now, listen, I tweeted this last night. It's football. The players are fond of saying that the injury rate in the sport is 100%. And I get it. I understand that. But to me, what's troubling is the number of what we'll call soft tissue type injuries that guys are missing games for. You mentioned yesterday Benford being out with a groin injury. Taron Johnson missed his second straight game with a groin injury, right? We saw Daquan Jones just miss three games with a calf injury and get back into the lineup yesterday. I've got 11 total man games lost to those types of injuries. And again, that's not talking about Michael Hoyt blowing out his Achilles or Dwayne Carter blowing out his Achilles before the season start. Those are the types of injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things happen. That's football. Those types of injuries happen. The thing that happened to Landon Jackson yesterday happens. It's football. But I asked Sean McDermott about it after the game, and he gave a very, in my mind, interesting response when he said, we have to, you know, turn over every stone in investigating why this continues to happen. What is doubly interesting about that whole thing is that it comes in a year that the team changed their strength and conditioning head coach. Eric Shiano is no longer with the team. Will Greenberg promoted from within to the head role. Again, are these injuries Will Greenberg's fault? Of course not. But I think that the organization has to do a deep dive into, is there some sort of connection as to why guys are getting hurt in pregame warmups? Guys are getting hurt in practice. Guys are getting hurt during the game. Any time that you can have an injury, I do not recall a season in which more players have been hurt during practice and then missed games because of it. It's baffling to me. So, yeah, it is something that I'm going to look at in greater depth in the Buffalo News. I think some of these some of these numbers regarding the injuries are really fascinating.
So, Jay, let's address that issue. This is a topic we've, of course, discussed for several weeks in a row before the trade deadline, and now we're after the trade deadline. The NFL trade deadline was last Tuesday. And the Bills had to stand pat, or did stand pat, one way or the other. There was, of course, talk externally, at least, that they probably ought to take a long look at a downfield threat. If not a downfield threat, then maybe another corner. If not another corner, then a safety. If not a safety, then a defensive end or an edge rusher. Again, brought on by all these injuries. We know now, of course, that Brandon Bean said he tried. He gave it the old college try, up and down. Was not able to pull a deal at the deadline. And take this, of course, wherever you want to take it, Jay, but I think it's important to note when we start this conversation, as we have before, when we start this conversation, the situation the Bills have found themselves in, you know, with the very, very small, tight salary cap space window that they have, you can't go out and get the ghost of Jerry Rice or somebody, some other high dollar figure, just willy-nilly. You were going to have to do some gymnastics no matter how you slice it. One way or the other, they didn't get it done. They couldn't get it done. And now the question is, do they have enough to be able to put this thing back together and make a run?
Well, that was my question to Brandon Bean last week. Do you believe, or is, you know, can this be taken as a sign, the lack of activity at the trade deadline, that you believe that you have a championship caliber roster? He was affirmative in that belief, as you would expect him to be. Yesterday severely brings that into question, I think, the results against Miami. But, you know, stretching beyond just what was a very demoralizing loss, the word that you used earlier, some reporting from NFL Network came out before the game that the Bills made an aggressive trade offer, including a first-round pick for Jaylen Waddle. I at least have not independently heard that to be the case, but let's operate on the assumption that it is true for now. It's an admission of failure on Brandon Bean's part, and it's a position in which he was incredulous to be questioned by radio hosts shortly after the draft. How could you, you know, dare bring up offense and wide receiver when we score 30 points a game? And, you know, it's not a good look. It's aging very, very poorly for the general manager. For him to react in the way that he did in that situation, when it turns out
that touched a nerve there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, touched a nerve.
It did, but who's looking right now? It's not Brandon Bean.
Oh, no, it touched a nerve,
right?
Maybe because he knew he was up against it. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No. I'm glad. That's what this is for, is to talk through these things. And I think that going after Waddle the year after you went after Amari Cooper shows that the additions and the what you have done at wide receiver has not been good enough. That has played out. And yeah, the injuries on defense, you're absolutely right. We ran through them last segment. They have been severely impacted there. The target, again, according to some reporting from NFL Network, is Quinnen Williams from the Jets. That's big game hunting. That, to me, tells me we don't have difference makers on this roster. We have not done enough to get guys that really, truly move the needle, right? And Quinnen Williams and Jalen Waddle are guys that do that. These are not rotational pieces. These are not depth safeties or depth linebackers. These are stars in this league, right? And the fact that Bean is going out there, I think, is an admission that the roster as constructed is not good enough. No matter what he says about whether he thinks it can win a championship or not, I don't expect him to just, you know, wave the white flag up there and throw in the towel and say, yeah, we don't have it this year. That,
right.
That
after
isn't
going
to happen.
What is he going to say after the fact?
Exactly.
No, I don't think we can win.
Right. So, I do think that it is an admission that it hasn't, you know, been constructed well enough. And the second part of that to me, and it's a point that I want to bring up, and I wrote about it last week, is that throwing your hands up and saying we don't have the cap space is not good enough on Brandon Bean. They are in the cap situation that they're in because of the contracts that Brandon Bean okayed.
Correct.
None of these deals are signed without Brandon Bean's blessing. And so, yeah, maybe he didn't, you know, he's not in on the nitty gritty, you know, negotiating every last dollar or every last dime on every one of these deals. But the overall salary cap structure falls under his purview, right? He is the general manager of this football team. So you can't complain about not having cap space when you are the one who created not having cap space. And yeah, you know, you can be disappointed all you want and, you know, saying you're going as home, you know, home as mad as any fan. Well, there's no partial credit, right? You don't get partial credit for trying to make deals. You were unable to make deals, and the deals that you were trying to make, I think, says a lot about where the general manager of this football team views this roster right now. All right, Perrin, in our last segment, as we so often do, we will talk about the Bills' upcoming opponent. We'll shoot around the AFC East real quick. And those two things sort of intertwine here on this topic because it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who will come to Orchard Park on Sunday, fresh off of a loss. They could have been done some big favors for the Bills on this past Sunday, a day ago, against the New England Patriots at home. However, New England comes away with the victory. Impressive win, if I do say so. The Patriots have had a very easy schedule. This Tampa Bay game was probably one of their tougher ones, but they were able to get away from Tampa with the win. And the Bucs are a team, like the Bills, going through a lot of injuries, not to make excuses for them, but I think, you know, is still a team that the Bills are going to have to pay their full attention to because they, you know, they still have some talent. And as we've seen, particularly with the result against Miami, the Bills are not a team that can overlook anyone at this moment.
I don't think there's any question. Certainly, Tampa Bay is in charge, 6-3 in charge of a weak NFC South, but they're in charge of the NFC South nonetheless. Put it to you this way, they're in better playoff shape than the Bills are right now. They had a tough game against New England, as you said. Try to come back at the end, couldn't get there. Baker Mayfield, listen, discount him at your own peril. He was playing at a fringe MVP level earlier this season. He is certainly capable of giving you a big, big headache on the wrong day. They are dealing with injuries, but they do have a decent ground game to lean on and a decent defense to lean on too with some young players. So, listen, you know, we want to talk about this, about, you know, where the Bills stand with these guys and how they match up with them and all this other kind of stuff. They better take the tack of, hey, This is a situation, they're a 5.5 point favorite as we talk Monday. The Bills are a 5.5 point favorite to win this game. But you're not in the position to be able to discount anybody. You're not in the position to be able to look ahead to much of anything. Given that you just lost to a 2-17 that have fired its general manager, and you know this is something we haven't discussed, but we probably should, because I don't want to say we're burying a lead, because there were plenty of leads coming out of this game. the fact that the Bills in the locker room post game, which you had a first row seat to, so many of the players felt like the Dolphins wanted this game more, which is incredible. You know, the notion that a 2-17 that fired its general manager and has problems up and down the roster is going to outplay and outprepare and outcoach a team that is, trying to run down teams ahead of it, not only to win the AFC East, but of course, as you mentioned many times, Jay, secure home field advantage for the first time under Sean McDermott. Forget about home field advantage right now. Forget about the AFC East. You better make sure that you have a playoff spot secured. And the only way you can do that, of course, if you're the Bills, is to go on ahead and take care of business. The old adage, one game at a time. But you have to do that, because the notion that you're going to be able to catch up to the Patriots, I don't think is frankly realistic. And I don't mean that because you're we're prisoners in the moment. We just watched the Bills, lay an egg down in Miami. It's also the fact that, as we mentioned many, many times, and you just alluded to, the Patriots have a soft schedule. 7 games left. The only team with a winning record they face in these final 7 games is the Bills. Mm-hmm. So the notion that you're going to catch these guys is frankly unlikely at this point. And so now if you're the Bills, you have to worry about one game at a time, the old adage, and take these guys seriously. Take Tampa Bay seriously, because at the moment they've got the same record as you do. And they will have their full attention focused on this game, because they can't afford to lose one either.
No, and the Bills, the Bills have a lot to sort out in a short amount of time here, particularly after this game against Tampa too. Short week going down to Houston, but that's looking ahead, and they cannot afford to do that. They have to identify today and tomorrow why it is that you mentioned, Perrin, that Deion Dawkins is saying that the Dolphins played harder, or Khalil Shakir is saying, yeah, we didn't have the energy that we needed to have at the start of that game. How can that be, given where those two teams were in the standings? So yeah, there's a lot to investigate for the Bills, and you're absolutely right. Forget about New England for now. Worry about them when they come up on the schedule later this year, and then you kind of see where things are. But the Bills have to get right, and it has to start at home against Tampa Bay. They have been a good home team, right? We know that, with the exception of the loss to New England earlier this year. They rebounded nicely against Kansas City. That was a good performance. They need to build on that. They need to, maybe there was a little bit of, kind of playing down to your level of opposition against Miami, whereas a 6-3 team, you see that coming in. They say, okay, well, we know now that we need to have our A game. Maybe the lesson has finally been learned with this loss in Miami. Only way we're going to find that out for sure, though, is at 1 o'clock on Sunday against Tampa Bay, when that kicks off. We will be back next week on Monday following that game against the Buccaneers to analyze that. And it'll be a quick turnaround, as I mentioned, with a trip to Houston for a Thursday night game that follows. So a lot of football left here for the Bills, and a lot coming up in a short amount of time with, as we have talked about extensively here on this episode of Further Review, a lot of issues for the Buffalo Bills to sort out. We will continue to do that throughout the week, both in podcast form with Perrin and I, and with Catherine and Lance, and of course in the written word in the Buffalo News. So for Perrin Keyes, the executive sports editor, I am Jay Skirsky. Thank you so much for watching the Further Review podcast.
Harry the Hammer with Further Review by Housecrafters. Housecrafters provides complete home renovation services with one call does it all. That includes exterior home services like roofing, siding, home additions, and much more. Call 716-646-NAIL.